When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast in America is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at Underdog Fantasy using promo code MLBSGPN for a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Game Podcast Network. It is currently Friday afternoon, roughly 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host for the show, Scott Reichel, joined by Lante, and together we're going to go through the Saturday games for the MLB slate. Lante, who just vanished, is going to be back in a second. But yeah, it's kind of tough to kind of deal with that because I was about to introduce him and now he's gone. But either way, point is he'll be back in a second. Looking forward to breaking down the card, trying to remember what exactly happened with our picks last time I was on the show. I ended up sweeping. That I remember. I had the Mets money line against Snell, and that ended up getting there easily as my dog. And for my lock, I believe I had the under in the Miller Gray game in that Rangers and Mariners game at 9.5. That got there easily. He's back, though. Lante, welcome. How's it going with you?
Yeah, man, pretty good. I don't know what the hell was going on with the settings. But, yeah, man, looking forward to, short podcast, in and out, lock dog in total. Maybe, I guess, I don't know if you have any future thoughts on some other things. But, yeah, man, looking forward to getting to it.
Yep. Anything you want to add for takeaways over the last couple of days? You want to just move on to the games?
Oh, no, we can move on to the games. It's fine.
Sure. All right. So starting off with the first game, which is actually going to be at 3:00. So no 1:00 start times on Saturday. You have the Dodgers taking on the Blue Jays. You have Glasnow on the mound taking on Kikuchi. And for this one, you have a decent favorite because the Dodgers are obviously involved. Dodgers are around minus 155. The Blue Jays are around plus 135. Both pitchers have been really good this season. Glasnow is 4-1 with a 2.92 ERA. Kikuchi, though, 2-1, 2.28 ERA, and you're looking at the total in this game being set at around, I want to say it's at 8, but I'm trying to remember what it's at. It's at 8 flat, a little bit of juice to the over there. We know the Dodgers are the better team on paper, but so far this season they've been fine, not amazing. They're 16-11, at least compared to their preseason expectations. Lante, I'm going to let you go first. 155, do you think it's too cheap for the Dodgers, or do you actually think that it is a little bit too expensive based on how good Kikuchi's been?
I think it's, I mean, honestly, it's a game I'll be passing on, but I think it's a mix of both. The Dodgers do play better on the road, but Kikuchi, like you said, has been pretty much lights out, especially at home. It's just hard for me to trust the Toronto against a good team. I don't know their record against, like, above 500 teams, but usually they usually struggle in that aspect. But they've been better this year. Like I said, I don't think they've won, like 7 of the last 11 or 8 of the last 12 or something like that. So they're playing good baseball right now. But I do think the Dodgers with Glasnow's on the mound, right?
Yeah, it's Glasnow against Kikuchi.
Yeah, with Glasnow on the mound, I don't want to lay it with I don't want to lay the 155. So I'll probably just pass, but I kind of like the over. I think both teams can get it going. I know Glasnow's been – both pitchers have been pretty good, but I think the offense will come to play tomorrow. So I'll lean to the over. If I had to take a side, I'd lean with the home dog.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Dodgers here personally, so we're going to disagree. But Dodgers have won 4 straight, starting to play better. The pitching's been great. They've allowed less than 3 runs in 4 straight games, so that has been a big reason for the recent success. I think Glasnow's going to pitch well. Toronto's been decent at home. They are 6-3 at home this season. But I still don't exactly trust that team. The bullpen is still inconsistent. I think that the Dodgers are getting a decent price for Glasnow, in my opinion. Kikuchi might pitch well, but he doesn't exactly pitch along. So I think you might end up seeing some trouble in the later innings for Toronto's pitching staff. I'm going to go with the Dodgers in this one personally at minus 155. Moving on to the next one, looking at a matchup between the Reds and the Rangers. Rangers are a small favorite, about minus 135. You're looking at the Reds being around plus 115. You have Lorenzen taking on Green. Green this season has not been great, 0-2, 4.55 ERA. Lorenzen's had some command issues, but he's managed to dance in and out of trouble as he's 2-0 with a 2.45 ERA. Long time, I'm going to let you go first. I've mentioned Hunter Green before in the past negatively. I think that he is a solid strikeout pitcher, but he gives up a lot of runs, and he walks a lot of guys. So I'm not exactly a big Hunter Green guy. It seems like he's kind of strikeout or bust, and most of the time he gives up a lot of runs. So I've never been a Green guy. He's a good player prop guy if you want strikeouts. But when it comes to limiting the damage and trying to have solid quality outings, you don't really get it that often from Hunter Green, which is kind of the problem that I have. On the other hand, Lorenzen's been definitely worse under the hood than his basic numbers because he walked a bunch of guys against Detroit. Then he was able to dance out of trouble against the Braves early in that game. But he hasn't exactly pitched that well in terms of his overall stuff. So you can argue that Lorenzen's a bit overvalued, but I'm going to lean Texas here. I still prefer Lorenzen over Green if I had to pick between the two of them. So I'm going to lean Texas minus 135.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I think Texas, this homestand for Texas is pretty big. After I think they had back-to-back series on the road. They've been struggling, kind of a World Series hangover. But I do trust the pitching of – well, if he has to give you at least – Lorenzen has to give you at least, you know, 5 2/3, at least 6, because you don't – you want to limit – what that bullpen does because their bullpen is just so bad. But again, on the other side, you have Hunter Green who is pretty much strikeout or he's going to give a hard, he's going to give up a hard hit, like you mentioned. So I'm going to go with Texas as well. I would lean to the Texas team total to go over as well.
Yeah. I think that number should be around, sorry, pulling up the total here. Total is around 9. Yeah, you're probably so going to find a juiced 4.5.
Yeah.
Maybe minus 130, minus 135 on that. I don't mind that either. We know the Reds bullpen this year has not been as bad, but historically speaking, not a good unit whatsoever. But I am going to lean to the Rangers. For the total, I really didn't have much because Lorenzen might pitch well, but Green might not, or vice versa. So I don't have an actual opinion on the total, but I like the Rangers in the spot. Anything else you want to add?
No, I didn't have much on the total either. I can see it going either way. But I do – I trust the offense of Texas at home versus Cincinnati on the road, which I know they've been playing well on the road. I think they're like a game above 500. But, again, my issue with them is they can only win one way. They have to explode offensively. They can't win close games. So yep. I'll pass we'll on the total.
We'll see if Ellie De La Cruz continues to remain in the MVP race in the early part of the season. Yep. Right now it seems like it's between him – Betts and Ozuna as the immediate.
Yeah, Ozuna's been good, runner. Man. Ozuna's been good.
Yeah. We'll see. But either way, point is looking at the next matchup. We're going to look at a matchup between the Athletics and the Orioles. Orioles laying about 170. The Athletics are around plus 145. You have Sears taking on Irvin, and Sears does have the better numbers. Over-under in this game is set at 8 or 8.5, couple 8.5s available. Lante, do you want to lay 170 or maybe a run line with Cole Irvin?
I do not. So I would just take the team total to go over. Baltimore at home has been really good. Oakland's been feisty, man. They've been feisty all year. But again, I don't know if I can trust them on the road, not against this offense. So I'm going to make it short and sweet, Scott. I'm going to go Baltimore team total over. I just can't trust them. I can't trust Irvin enough to lay 170. And of course, you get the home team, so you're only potentially getting 8 at bats. Don't want to lay a run line as well, but if I would play the run line just for bigger upside. But I just can't lay 170 with Irvin.
Yeah, Baltimore was kind of struggling a bit with I'd say their lineup because they were having an 8-on-9 because Jackson Holliday was in the lineup, but he got demoted. He's back to AAA. I'm being a bit harsh, but the original call up was a call up from hell for Jackson Holliday, who was atrocious. He got demoted, so we'll see if whoever replaces him is going to be better in the lineup. To be honest, he couldn't really be much worse. It was a complete zero offensively early on. I'm not writing Holliday off for the rest of his career, but we can all agree that first stint was as bad as it could possibly be. So maybe Baltimore's offense will look a little bit sharper in this matchup, but Oakland's been competitive. They split against the Yankees in that four-game set. The Yankees also can't really hit. Sears was very good in one of those outings, so we'll see if Sears can keep it rolling. At first glance, I like Baltimore in the spot. I think they'll win this game probably by multiple runs. I still don't think Oakland's that good. They've been competitive, at least more than I thought they would be.
Yeah.
But I don't think that these teams are close in terms of talent, and the Yankees are kind of slumping a bit offensively. So give me Baltimore to get the job done. Cole Irvin, maybe a revenge game against his former team. So maybe he's in line to pitch pretty well. But the point is, I am going to expect Baltimore to just have a solid offensive showing. Irvin last time out, though, was actually pretty good. 6 2/3 and no runs against the Royals, who we saw score 8 runs in the early game on Friday, 7 runs in the 9th inning. So decent showing there, but maybe show something here against his old team. Give me the Orioles on the run line in this one. I just think they'll win this game, I don't know, like 6-2, give or take, something like that. So give me Baltimore to get the job done. Moving on to the next game, you have a matchup between the Cardinals and the Mets. You have Gray going up against Hauser. Gray might be the only pitcher you actually like for the Cardinals. But you're looking at what should be a pretty interesting matchup, as you have potentially an underratedly surging team in the Mets, who are kind of 13-11, but they got off to the really bad start to the year. They've been good over the last couple weeks. Cardinals are middling to below average, which is kind of what Mal and I thought they would be. Gray, though, has been great, despite the Cardinals being 11-14. Gray's 2-1 with a 1.04 ERA. Hauser's been a disaster, 0-2 with a 7.45 ERA. Cardinals, though, are favored slightly, minus 125, Mets plus 105, and the total in this game is around 7.5. Lante, if you're going to take the Cardinals at any point, it's probably when Gray pitches. Do you want Gray first five, or do you want to go with the Mets because the Cardinals find ways to lose games?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the latter. I like the Mets here. I don't think there should be a dog at home. I think it should be maybe a little bit reversed. Maybe, you know, the wrong team favorite type thing. While Gray is good, he's only had 2 road starts, both against below average offenses. So this will be pretty much the best offense that he's faced on the road. I guess it's factored in that Hauser's obviously not good, but I think that the Mets offense is probably the best unit out of the four. So I trust them to get it done. They've won 7 of 10. They're hitting almost 270 at home. St. Louis is hitting 219 on the road. In their wins, in their 7 wins out of the last 10, they're averaging around 6 runs per game. So I think the offense can get going here. I know Gray's been good, but again, numbers are kind of propped up by some bad offenses. St. Louis lost 6 of 10. And you mentioned it, man. Their bullpen is allowing 4.5 runs per 9 in their last 10. Don't trust the bats at all. Don't trust the offense at all. I'm going to go with the home dog here, man. Give me the Mets.
Yeah, I think for this one, I'm going to go with the Cardinals first five. The Mets have been a really good come-from-behind team so far this season. They seem to be trailing a lot, and they'll manage to rally in the latter innings. I can see that happening in this matchup, but I think Gray's been really good. The Yankees got rid of him, and he remembered how to pitch because he's been good everywhere else. So I'm going to go with Gray.
That always happens.
Yeah, Hauser has been a mess, and it doesn't exactly help when you're not a strikeout pitcher because that means you pitch to contact, and Hauser's always been a ground ball guy, which has not gone well for him so far this season. So I know the Cardinals are not good. Goldschmidt's starting to get a bit better. I know that his average is bad, and he was striking out a ton to start the year. He's been better recently. I think he's had multiple hits in 2 of the last 3, 3 of the last 4. So maybe he's starting to get going. Arenado was decent to start the year. Same thing with Contreras. Nobody else has really done much in the lineup. Nupar's been okay, I guess. But the point is, I'll go with the Cardinals' first five. Will they win the game? I didn't say that because I don't think the Cardinals are good. But first five innings, give me a nice 3-1 lead after five. Anything else you want to add, or should we move on?
No, we can move on.
All right. So moving on to the next game, we have our first game of the slate with no line. We have Winkowski pitching for the Red Sox, and you have Undecided pitching for the Cubs. My favorite player. He's on a bunch of different teams, Undecided. So we're going to have to wait and see who's going to be pitching for the Cubs in this one. But the point is we don't have lines on it at all. Both teams, though, have been pretty solid this season. Cubs are 16-9. They were my preseason pick to win the NL Central. The Red Sox I thought would be bad, but Alex Cora finds a way to never let the team fully bottom out. They're 14-12. They've been feisty, is the word we can use. They are only 3-7 in Fenway, and Winkowski is nothing to really write home about. We don't have a line on this one, so I don't know how we're going to break it down, but I'm not going to ignore it. Do we lean Cubs because they're just the better overall team?
Yeah, I would think so, just depending on who they throw. Red Sox has been pretty much one of the biggest surprises to me, because I think coming into it, a lot of people have pegged them to be kind of, you know, one of the bottom like three or four teams. And if you look at some of the wins, they're beating some teams that are good, but they lose to teams that they're not supposed to lose to. So, and then they've got, you got the blown leads in there as well. But yeah, I would lean to the Cubs, if anything. You got to see who's pitching first. But obviously, I'm surprised by the Red Sox. I wasn't as high on the Cubs as you and a couple other guys, but I do think the Cubs are the better team right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it was really me being high on the Cubs or me just being low on the entire NL Central.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Cubs, I just thought, had some pieces, and they were able to get Imanaga, who's been really good. Back Bellinger. Really. Who's been, of course, a big piece of that team. But in general, they got an actual manager. I think Ross was holding him back, and Council might be a little bit over-aligned on the bullpen at times, but definitely an upgrade over Ross. So that was kind of my argument there. But in general, yeah, I think the Cubs are good. And the Red Sox are in trouble because we know Devers has been banged up this season. O'Neill was incredible. He got injured. Casas fractured something. I forgot what he fractured, but he's going to be out for a while. And Casas was really good to start the year. So the Red Sox offense, their main pieces all got hurt, which is definitely not a good sign. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Cubs in this one at what should be a decent price on the road. Once again, not going to actually bet it until I see who's pitching. Before we get into the next game on the slate, though, do want to remind everybody once again that we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a great place to play fantasy sports, and it's very easy to play there. Plus, the NBA playoffs are here, and Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting because they have a great pick'em game, which is as simple as picking higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries on all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. They also have baseball, a bunch of options on baseball. So if you want to go for earned runs, you want to go for potentially runs in the first inning, they have so many options on Underdog for baseball. But the point is you can win up to 100 times your money, and it is a ton of fun. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And they also have a lot of really interesting special promos they got going, because Underdog will be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks. That's at Underdog Picks to keep an eye out. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And they also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. So make sure you sign up with the code MLBSGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, real experts are checking your sneakers, every stitch down to the sole. Personally, I can't wait to get a new pair of Giannis Freak 5s. Whatever you're adding to your lineup next, head to eBay. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Just look for that blue check mark. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Welcome back, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Just finished covering a couple of the Saturday games. Now it's time to move on. Going to look at a matchup between two really bad NL East teams, but one team has been a lot better than the other. The Nationals are 10-14. The Marlins are 6-20. But you have Parker going up against Cabrera. Two pitchers have actually been really good so far this season. Parker's 2-0 with a 1.5 ERA. And I'm sure most casual baseball fans never heard of him. Cabrera, though, is 1-0 with a 3.27 ERA for the actual money line. Marlins are minus 135. Somehow, a 6-20 team overall and a 2-11 team at home is favored at minus 135. And the Nationals are currently getting plus 115. Over-under for the game is set at 8. I actually do see a juiced 8.5, though, on FanDuel at around minus 122. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I don't know why the Nationals are dogs. They're the better team right now. Parker's been great as a pitcher, and the Marlins are 2-11 at home. How the hell are you laying minus 135? Like, that's an insane price to me. Give me the Nationals.
Yep, can't do it. I love the Nationals on the road. They actually play better on the road. I think they're like right around 500 on the road.
They're 6-6.
Yeah, so I love the start that Parker's had against really two really good elite offenses. Actually, he shut down the Dodgers on the road. Seven hits in that span. So the two games only allowed seven hits. Shut out the Astros. And Miami is really bad against lefties, 192 versus lefties, scoring 2.4 runs per nine.
To be fair to them, they suck against everybody.
So. Yeah, they do. But it's really bad against lefties. But yeah, I don't see how you can lay this with. The only thing I can see reasonable is a first five because of Cabrera. That's the only thing I can see that's reasonable. I can't lay the full game. I love the Nationals here.
Yeah, my main lean for the total would be the first five under, probably at 4.5 because the total's at 8. Cabrera and Parker have been good, simply put. And we know Miami is a pitcher's friendly ballpark, either because of the dimensions or because the Marlins never have a lineup worth a damn, probably both. But yeah, I am going to go with the under at 4.5 in the first five. I think both pitchers are solid. Parker's relative unknown. He sounds auto-generated. Like if you were playing a dynasty mode in a video game and you fast forwarded 5 years and they started making up players, Mitchell Parker would probably be one of those players, but he's been good in general. So anyway, moving on to the next game, you have a matchup, international matchup actually, between the Astros and the Rockies. Yul Blanco pitching against Quantrill. Oh, Quantrill in Mexico. What can possibly go wrong? Houston's around minus 210. Colorado's around plus 175. You're looking at Blanco being insane this year. He has a no-hitter, 2-0, 1.33 ERA. Quantrill, 0-2, 4.33 ERA. Total in the game. Did you check or do you want to guess?
12
remember
and
the
half.
Games in Mexico last year?
12 and a half.
16 and a half. Totals at 16.5 or 17. So, yeah, have fun trying to pick on how you want to go about it. This was the insane high-scoring Dodgers-Padres game, I believe, last year. Was the one that had a ton of home runs. Then they played again, and I believe the second game went under. But the first game had basically a run every inning. Yeah, I'm going to ask you right now, do the Astros score more or less than 7.5 runs in this game?
I'm going to go over that.
I'll go
over that. That's the only thing that I have in this game. I mean, I really don't know what to expect. I mean, the Rockies aren't good anywhere, so why would they be good in Mexico? So,
well, the argument is they play in Coors. They might be more equipped to handle the altitude, but they suck at home too this year. So
I was about to say that. But, and their offense, I mean, their offense hasn't been that good, especially at home. They've been under in a lot of their games in Coors, which is kind of, you know, kind of unusual. But I would lean with the team total over for the Astros. I wouldn't even go to the full game because I don't trust the offense of Colorado.
The problem I run into, though, is that pitching stats kind of go out the window when you're pitching in altitude because you don't know what you're going to expect. Right. Blanco's numbers are so good, but I don't know if they're worth anything in this game. Like, because he's pitching in a dome, basically, at home. He's been great. But now you're going to Mexico to pitch in extreme altitude, and I wonder if he's going to struggle. So I think I'd rather not back any pitchers. Just give me almost every single Astros batter prop. Because Quantrill, I think, is going to get destroyed in this matchup. The over-earned runs on Quantrill, maybe the under and outs, but Houston might have like 7 runs by the fifth inning. It wouldn't shock me. I think Houston wins this game comfortably. I know they've been really bad this year. I get it. They're still clearly better than Colorado in terms of talent. But I'm going to go with Houston winning this game. I mean, I guess I'm leaning over on the game because I think Houston could actually score like 12 runs in this game. It might get really ugly. Give me some type of like 12-7 final. Something fun, something chaotic. If you want to bet player props, by the way, home runs, anything, do it now. Because you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to see a bunch of tweets going, by the way, we're back on this insane Mexico game. And all of Twitter is going to slam parlays on the home run props and the overs and everything. Do it now before the line moves. Because I guarantee you, all of gambling Twitter is going to be slamming overs closer to game time. You agree with that?
Yeah, and I'm not really a big home run betting guy or nothing like that.
I'm just saying in general.
In general. I do.
But I'm not a big home run prop guy either. Adam's been kind of getting me more into it, but it's pretty
good. Adam's really good at it.
He's really good at it, but it's very tricky to predict who's actually going to hit a home run. You go by recent form with hard hit rates, etc. But the point is, for this matchup, all these lines, no matter who you like, are going to plummet. The total 16.5 or 17. So if you want to get your bets in, I'd probably get them in now. Moving on to the next matchup, you have the continuation of the series that we saw start on I remember if it started actually on Friday or Thursday, but you have the AL Central battle between the Royals and the Tigers. You have the Tigers being favored with Mize on the mound at minus 115. Royals are around minus 105 with Singer on the mound. Both pitchers have been good, below three ERAs. Over-under for this matchup is set at 7.5. We saw a really bad beat on the under, 7.5, on Friday because you had one run in 8 innings, and then the Royals scored 7 runs in the 9th inning, and the game ended, right. A game landed 8. So both pitchers, though, kind of comparable. Mize, a guy that I like, who's a relative, I'd say, I don't want to say wild card, but he's been solid this year. Singer's a wild card because his numbers are either really good or atrocious. Last year, they were really bad, but this year, it seems like he's figured it out. Really not much to separate these teams. I guess I'm going to lean Royals because if it's going to be a coin flip, basically, I'll take what's closer to even money. Shopping around, though, you can find Kansas City at minus 104, I guess, but I think Kansas City is the better team than Detroit. They're 17-10. They've been solid. The offense has been good. Witt's been good. They have some pieces. Detroit offensively can't hit. So if I have to pick between these two teams, I'm going to lean Kansas City getting a decent price as the better overall roster. You?
Yeah, I'm with you with Kansas City. It's, actually, these two teams are two teams that I'm completely right on and completely wrong on. I can get every Royals game right when I bet them, but I can't get anything right with the Tigers when I bet them. So I don't I'm all like confused on what to do in this scenario. But I do think the under has a good chance of hitting. Like you mentioned with Singer, I think he has a shot to be really good mixed in with the Tigers not being that good offensively. So I think we can see like a low scoring game here. And the Royals have shown they're able to win high scoring and low scoring games against pretty much any opponent. So I think we see it under here. I'm thinking we get maybe like a 3-2, a 4-3 type of game. We can slide under that total. But I do lean to the Royals on the side, though.
Yeah, I was one of the only hosts on the show when we did our division preview to not fully drink the Royals Kool-Aid because people were kind of high on this Royals team. I was not. I'm willing to admit I was probably wrong on that. I don't know if it was
a
matter of...
I
got a long way to go. I'm not saying this team's going to finish like 10-15 over, but in the AL Central, they're going to be fighting for the division.
Yeah.
I thought Minnesota would be better than they are. I didn't think Minnesota was good. I just thought the other teams weren't worth a damn. But I think the Royals have looked like definitely a team that will be hanging in there for a division title in the latter couple of months of the season. We'll see if they fall apart. We'll see. But I thought the Royals would be worse than they are. So I wanted to at least give props to them. Good start. They're 7 over. We'll see if they get to 8 over in this spot. But I do agree with you on the under. This game screams 3-2 to me.
Yeah.
Like a very low scoring, boring game that nobody's going to pay attention to. And you look up and go, oh, the Royals won again. 3-2. All right, cool. And then you just move on to your day. That's kind of how I see that going. So I like the under in this game as well. Both pitchers are solid. Both offenses can be good, but Detroit's offense is bad more often than not. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Moving on to the next game, you have the Yankees taking on the Brewers in a battle of, I can't even say first place teams anymore. Wait, are they first place teams? Because I think the Brewers might be a half game ahead of the Cubs.
Yeah, they should be.
One less game. You have a battle of first place teams here with the Yankees taking on the Brewers. You have Rodon, who's actually been decent this year, taking really on good. Ross. Yankees are minus 135. You have the Brewers at plus 115. As for the over-under, you can find that number currently available at around 8.5. Market wide. A little bit of juice to the under, though. Long time, I'm going to let you go first. Rodon's been okay. The Yankees offense, though, has not been very good recently. Where do you want to go for this one?
Hey, that's a perfect mix for my under, man. Under 8.5. I've been betting the Yankees under all season. And they're 17 of their 26 games have went under. They're also under in 6 of the last 10. I know Milwaukee's offense has been, you know, they've been going pretty good, especially early on in the season. Yeah, especially early on in the season. But they struggle against lefties, though. They're hitting under 200 versus lefties. They're actually under in 6 of their last 10. And like you mentioned, Rodon's been awesome. I mean, 2 or less runs allowed in 4 of his 5 starts. 2 of those starts were on the road versus solid offenses. So, you know, the Milwaukee offense won't be, you know, too much of a burden on him. So I'm going to go with the under, man. I don't think – listen, I know Rodon's been good. I'm going to put my Yankee fan cap to the side. I'm not sure they should be favored on the road.
Yeah, we agree on this on both sides. I like the under in the matchup. Yankees offensively have been struggling. Judge still has not been exactly a great hitter this season. he'll turn it around at some point, but it's been a mess. And you're looking at who has actually been contributing for the Yankees recently. Not many guys. Rizzo had a couple home runs against Oakland, which is a shock. I saw Trevino had the shortest home run in the entire league this year. But Soto has, I don't want to say cooled off, but he hasn't been dominant. He's been solid, though, compared to the rest of the lineup. Judge has been a mess. I know that Cabrera was very good to start the year, along with Volpe. They have both cooled off. Volpe, especially, has been a mess over the last couple of weeks. I like the under in this game. I do agree with you about the actual side, though. I think minus 135 is disrespectful. I think Milwaukee's been undervalued all year long.
Yeah.
They're good at home. I still call it Miller Park. Deal with it. I know it's not, but I still call it Miller Park to me. Point is, though, give me the Brewers on the money line as well at a plus 115. Trevor, I actually do not have Contreras at 150-1 to an MVP. That was something that Adam told me to take. I'm in New York. I can't bet that. They don't have award markets, but I also thought it was kind of a donation because I don't see him winning. I don't think that they're going to give him the award at the end of the year. Great CLV, though. We'll see how Contreras does moving forward. I have a play on bets to win MVP. So that's kind of where I'm at now. But 150-1, we'll see what happens. But he's definitely done a great job so far in Milwaukee. Moving on to the next matchup. You have a matchup between the Rays and the White Sox, where the fans in attendance are only there for the milkshakes. You have the Rays being a favorite about minus 240. You have the White Sox at around plus 200. Savale's pitching against Cannon. It's fitting his name's Cannon because all the hits he gives up are rockets. But either way, you're looking at the over-under being set at 7.5. The White Sox are 3-22. I said in the first week of the season, this team's losing 120-plus games. They might lose 130. That's where we're at right now. So I'm going to ask you right now, the Rays are 240. The play is either run line or nothing, or maybe the under. I'm on Rays run line. The White Sox are a fake baseball team. They're awful. If there was relegation, they'd be demoted to AAA. They're a disgrace to the sport on a regular basis, just watching this team play. Give me Tampa run line. The White Sox are a catastrophe. I got nothing else to add.
I got nothing else to add either. I might look under. Rays offense hasn't been good at all, especially at the top of the lineup. Randy Rosarina's like struggling. Like he's struggling.
Well, the issue is he strikes out all the time. And he always has been a big strikeout guy. So if he's not on, I don't want to compare him to Stanton because, of course, by body type, they're completely different. Same struggles. They kind of swing for the fences all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah.
Their K rate is insane. Their chase rate's insane. But when they hit the ball, it goes a long way.
Yep.
That's kind of the comp I'll make there from at least an approach at the plate. There's a lot of Stanton negatives to a Rosarena's game.
Yeah, I agree. But we can move on, man. This don't bet this. I mean, if you're going to bet anything on this game, either bet the Rays. I mean, you're getting all 9 at bats. The White Sox, pitiful. They're just pitiful.
We saw Oakland intentionally punting last year. This team might be worse. They've lost 7 straight. They've lost, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They've lost 13 of their last 14. Fun fact, by the way, the White Sox have not covered the run line in, what is it, each of their last 12 losses?
Jesus. Oh, yeah.
They covered one against the Twins. They lost the Twins, 6-5.
Yeah, and that's because the Twins had a walk-off. Yeah, the Twins had a walk-off single. Yeah.
So just doing the math in my head, I believe the White Sox have not covered the run line in 11 of their last 12 losses. So if you want to back that trend, you can definitely go ahead and do so. When they lose royally. So, yeah, I don't mind Tampa run line. Maybe if you want to go White Sox team total under, because they've been shut out like 8 times already in like 25 games, which is insane to me. But yeah, all their players worth a damn are on the IL. So maybe you just go with White Sox team total under, Rays run line, but I'm not taking the White Sox. Moving on to the next game, you have the Guardians taking on the Braves. For this matchup, you have an interesting pitching matchup because you're looking at the... so you have Morton going up against Bibee. Is that how it's pronounced? I think it's pronounced Bibee.
Yeah, man, I say BB, Bibee. I've heard it.
I think I used to say BB, and then I found out it was like Bibee, and I felt like an idiot because I said it wrong for the entire year. So I'm pretty sure it's Bibee. Either way, though, the Braves are a big favorite at home. What else is new? You have the Braves being minus 185. The Guardians are plus 155. Bibee's been pretty much the same pitcher as Morton. 2-0, 4.44 ERA compared to 2-0, 4.7 ERA. The Braves have been really good. Duh, they've been great. They always are. The Guardians, though, surprise of the AL. They're really good, apparently. They are 18-7. So right now, they are competing with the Royals for the biggest shock in the AL Central right now. But either way, though, looking at the actual matchup, do you want to lay 185 with the Braves? I personally don't.
Yeah, I don't. I kind of struggle with this game, to be honest with you, because I think that, like you mentioned, both of the pitchers are about the same. And Atlanta's offense does have a tendency to kind of get in a funk at times, and they kind of try to bail themselves out at the end. I think they fell down a couple of times to even, like, down – even at home to, like, lower-tier teams. I think Cleveland's defense is really, really elite, probably one of the best in baseball. But their offense just doesn't get enough runs. And I'm not sure how many runs they'll muster up, but I know the Braves are going to be able to score regardless of if BB or Bobby is on the mound pitching well or not. But I would take the Guardians, man. Like you said, both pitchers are essentially the same, bullpens right around the same. I think the Guardians actually might be better bullpen wise. So I'll take the Guardians on the money line.
Yeah, I just feel like the line's disrespectful. Now, Atlanta has won 9 of 10, which is why this line is so high, because the Braves finally are starting to look like the team that we thought they would be. I have them in the World Series in my offseason predictions, so I was high on this team anyway, as most people were. But the point is, the issue is the Guardians offensively. Like, you're not wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, Atlanta's, I don't think there's any value on Braves minus 185. I think if you were going to take the Braves, maybe you make a case for the run line and just hope they score enough runs, or maybe you take Bybee over earned runs or something like that, or maybe a team total.
But
give or take. But I don't see much value on Atlanta. If they kill this team, would I be shocked? No. Like, I would not be shocked at all, but I don't see any value on it. So I'll go with the Guardians. Plus, the Braves offensively were really not great over the last couple games against Miami.
Yeah, ironically, that's what I'm saying.
They swept. They swept, though, but they didn't score much. They just
were down big. So. I think Miami was up on them in the two of the last three games, and they just kind of, you know, offense kind of picked up because that's what they do. They're just that good, but they didn't look as dominant as you would think in a sweep.
Yeah, so I think that the Guardians can hang in there. They've also been very good on the road. They're 10-3 on the road. Braves are 9-3 at home, so kind of cancels out there.
Didn't the White Sox beat the Braves? I think that was their last win.
It could be.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think that was their last win. I think the White Sox last win was against the Braves.
So the Marlins, by the way, got swept. They scored a total of 3 runs in the entire series. Right. Atlanta scored less than 6 runs in every game of that series, and they swept. The Braves did lose one game to the White Sox.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
That was the 5th game of the season, though, so that better not be the White Sox last win, but they did beat the Braves once. So we'll see what happens when they resume that series, because that last game got postponed. Moving on to the next game on the slate, you have the Phillies taking on the Padres in what should be an interesting game. Looking at the matchup here, you have Suarez, who's been insane this year,
insane.
Against Cease, who's also been insane.
Insane.
Insane. You're looking at the Phillies being minus 105. The Padres are minus 115. The over-under in this game is set at 7.5, but there is a 7 available, so you might want to take the 7.5 now before the line moves. Yeah, both pitchers have been nuts. Suarez, 4-0, 1.36 ERA, which I don't know how the hell he's pulling it off, but Ranger Danger is doing pretty well. And Cease has been a phenomenal acquisition for the Padres after they got him from the White Sox, and the Padres are not very good. They're 500, but Cease has done everything he can to get them a couple of wins. They haven't always capitalized on those opportunities because his record is only, I mean, he's 3-1, but when your ERA is 1.82, you probably shouldn't have any losses on your overall record. But I'm going to ask you, I think Cease is the better overall pitcher if we're going by the career body of work, but the Phillies are the better team. So the question is, how do you want to go about it? Because I don't really see much value in this game.
Yeah, me either. I struggle with it because I don't think that, on one hand, the Philly, like Ranger, I think can be got in by the Padres offense. But do I trust the Padres offense to be consistent? I don't.
Probably.
And on the other side, Cease is going against probably one of the better offense that he's faced. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Phillies have been really good against the Padres just – from a historical standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, just from a historical standpoint. So I didn't see a lot of value on the game. I actually struggled to come up with a bit. I think it's actually perfectly aligned. If I had to go anywhere, I would go with first five under. If both pitchers are in good form, I think that Cease can be able to shut down the offense for a little bit. And then I think on the other side, Suarez will be able to shut down the Padres offense for a little while as well. I just don't trust the Padres offense, and I don't trust the Phillies bullpen. So it's kind of a toss-up to me. I think it's perfectly priced. So I'll pass. I didn't see a lot of value. Good series, though. Good series.
Yeah, you mentioned my main play for this game would be the first five under, probably at a flat four. Might be a little bit juiced, maybe minus 120. I don't mind it. But that total of 7.5 might not be there by game time because there already are a couple of sevens. So if you want the under, maybe you want to take that now. Moving on to the next game, you have the Pirates taking on the Giants. Remember when the Pirates were good for the first week and a half? Not anymore. They're 13-13. It's the same story every year. They're good for a couple weeks, and they finish about 30 games under 500. We'll see how Pittsburgh does the rest of the season. Team's not any good, though. Moving on to the Giants, looking at an actual matchup here where you have Jordan Hicks on the mound against Martin Perez. Hicks has been really good this season, 2-0, 1.61 ERA. Perez, though, is pitching for Pittsburgh, and he has a 3.45 ERA. You're looking at the Giants being minus 145. The Pirates are plus 125. Over-under in the game is set at 7.5. Lante, I don't like either of these teams. I think these teams aren't worth a damn. But I am going to lean to the Giants because the Pirates can't hit. The team's falling apart. The record's only good because they started off really solid in the first 2 weeks. They've been really, really underwhelming. And the Giants are kind of hovering, which is good enough for me. I'll lean to the Giants.
Yeah, I don't want to lay 145 with the Giants, though. I really don't.
I get that.
So I'll go first five with the Giants. Just get in, get out. Don't trust the Pirates to do anything well right now. Ironically, they've been one of the teams that I've kind of like been – I bet against. I win a little. Bet on, I win a little. But they're just kind of like a whack-a-mole team. So I'll trust the Giants here in the first five. I don't have much intel on – you know, matchup-wise. I just think they have a better pitcher on the mound. They're at home, the better offense, Pirates struggling, especially on the road. So give me the Giants first five. I don't love it.
Yeah, I really don't. I feel like if you want to back Hicks alone, that's fine. I don't think Pittsburgh's bullpen is amazing. I think Bednar's okay. But you're looking at a prop potentially for this matchup. It's in Oracle Park. Both teams can't really hit. Give me the no home runs in this game. Give me a very ugly, like 3-2 type late night game in San Francisco. So that's my like prop there at a decent plus money price. Moving on to the next game on the slate, you have a matchup between the Twins and the Angels. Two teams that completely suck. Not really. I mean, the Angels and the Twins record wise are not totally in the cellar. Minnesota was supposed to be the front runners to win the AL Central, but it's a psycho division. So it's like the NFC East, just a different winner every year. You just make it up as you go. But either way, the Twins are currently a dog, actually, in this game. You have Paddock taking on Soriano. Soriano's 0-3, but he's a 3.43 ERA, which is code word for I get no run support at all. Against Paddock, who's 1-1 with a 5.57 ERA. Angels, though, are minus 130. Twins are plus 110. And the over-under in this game is set at 8.5. For this matchup, I'm going to blindly take Minnesota. I'm not laying 130 with the Angels. That's just not going to happen. And as bad as Minnesota's been, they're still better than the Angels record-wise and talent-wise. I know Paddock's not very good. I get it. But plus 110? It's like the Mets-Giants game the other day. Like, I don't know why the hell this team's getting plus money. Give me the Twins.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Twins. I think it's more of a coin flip than anything. So I'll take the dog any day of the week. Angels, I mean, they're just pretty much like they started off better than what I thought, but they kind of leveled out since. You know, Trout has been, you know, he's been fine, but not a lot of help in that lineup. Paddock has his moments, but then he has like an inning or he has a stretch of like an inning and a half, and he just kind of, like implodes. So if he can keep that down, I don't think this offense can take advantage of that. So I'm going with the Twins as well. I like their offense a whole lot better than I do the Angels offense. So I would rather have the better offense. I guess it's semi-better pitcher with Paddock on the mound. So, yeah, I'll trust Paddock and the Twins.
That's the debate, too. That's the point. I don't know what the Angels are better at than the Twins. Besides Mike Trout being on the team.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, so I'm rolling with you. I'm with the Twins.
All right. Moving on to the last game on the slate, you have the Diamondbacks taking on the Mariners, and we have, I believe, no lines again.
Yeah,
we have no lines.
I think it's a pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah, I see Kirby's pitching for Seattle, and I don't know, he's pitching for Arizona. I see it's, what is it, Ciccone? Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah, Ciccone.
Ciccone. I see Ciccone. He might be on the mound, but I don't know if that's actually true or not, so keep an eye out for Arizona. But the point is, Kirby, I like as a pitcher, but he's been terrible this year. He's 2-2 with a 5.33 ERA. Ciccone's been okay. Once again, assuming he is actually pitching. 1-0, 3 flat ERA. Arizona, though, not that good. Seattle, though, quietly, first place at 13-12.
Yes,
the AL West, not exactly a great division this year. I'm assuming it's going to ramp up, but so far, not great. Seattle got off to a really bad start to the year. And kind of the opposite of the Pirates. They were really bad to start the year, and they kind of caught form recently, while Pittsburgh was the opposite. But you're looking at Seattle, and Seattle has won 7 of their last 9. So they've been in good form. And, yeah, Arizona's just not very good, just simply put. We know that we tend to see teams make a deep playoff run then the year after in various sports. They kind of fall off. It's still early to say that about Arizona, but they definitely are overvalued based on what I've seen from them this season. I'm going to take Seattle. I don't know what the line's going to be, so I can't really like lock it up or anything or make some strong arguments, but Seattle's been in good form. I'll back the hot team. And Arizona's really not that good on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, and their offense has been kind of like up and down, and they're like comparable to the Reds to me. Like if they don't, I don't think they can win a low scoring, grinded out type of game where
they're gonna test it out tonight is Gallen's pitching. But besides Gallen,
we'll see. But outside of that, that's just more so Gallen just shutting down the opposing team, and them trying to muster up something. But Kirby's due for a big performance here after not being good at all season. I think he took a lot of Cy Young love. He had a lot of Cy Young love going into the season. But yeah, without a line, I can't really, you know, get into detail because I would like to see. I'm guessing the Mariners will be favored 150-ish, 140-ish, depending on if it's.
I was going to say around 135, 140.
Yeah. So I would bet them anything 130 or under. I will say that. Or maybe a first five with Kirby on the mound, thinking the Diamondbacks offense can't get going early against them.
Yeah, that's going to wrap it up, though, for the actual slate for Saturday. Now it's time for the actual lock and dog picks. Wante, I'm going to let you go first. What is your lock for the show?
Yeah, actually, I got two dogs. I got a lock for my dog is a lock. I mean, my lock
you have
is
two
a dog.
Plus money plays as your lock and dog.
Yeah, so I'm going with the Mets at home. I think we both agree that they should be favored. Like I said, they're really good at home, betting almost 270 at home. The run support has been there. St. Louis, don't trust their offense. Their bullpen is atrocious. I do know Gray is the quote-unquote better pitcher. Actually, he is the better pitcher than Hauser. I'm not a big Hauser guy, but against the offense like St. Louis, man, I don't think you have to be too good. You could just rely on that offense to kind of get going. Lindor's been on a mission for the past few weeks. So I like the Mets at home catching what 10 I see 108. Do you see 108?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah. And for the dog, I'm going to back to another game that we like, man. We like Washington. I love Mitchell Parker. ERA of 1 versus, like we mentioned, 2 elite offenses. He's actually stepping down in class with this offense. So if he can shut down the Dodgers and Houston, I'm pretty sure he can go on the road against a Miami Marlins team who's hitting under 200 against lefties. So I like Washington to win it outright, plus 115.
Yeah, I see around plus 115.
Yeah, and then Washington's offense is actually Washington's offense is actually really good on the road. They're hitting around 240. Miami 215 at home. The bullpen of Miami if they can get to Cabrera kind of early. The bullpen is allowing ERA 4.73, allowing 5 runs per 9. So
I see 120, by the way.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yep.
So for my lock on the show, I feel like I liked a lot of unders on the card today, and I might be going back to it. I mean, I hit a lock on the under for my last episode. For the lock on this one, I think I am going to go with the – I mean, I thought about the Nationals money line as my dog too, but I like the under in that game. So I got to figure out what I want to actually do here. Yeah, I think for the lock in this game, I think I am going to go with the Nationals and Marlins first five under at around 4.5. I just think both pitchers are solid. I know the Nationals offensively have been better than people thought, but I think Cabrera's pretty good. We know the Marlins can't hit. They scored 0 runs in 2 of the 3 games in Atlanta. I know Atlanta's a good team. It's a hitter's-friendly ballpark. You score 0 runs in 2 games? Come on. Like, you gotta be better than that. So give me the first five under. I don't want anything to do with the bullpens. I think that Cabrera and Parker should be pitching well in this matchup. So with that being the case, give me the first five under. I'm going to have to guess on the actual line. The full game total, though, I do see 8.5 available, mostly 8. So you can find probably a 4.5. So that'll be my lock. First five under 4.5 into that Nationals and Marlins game. For my dog, what do I want to go with here? Thought about the Brewers, actually, if I want to consider them. Minnesota's a pure coin flip, so there might be some value on that. But, yeah, you know what? I think I might actually go with that. I'm going to go with the Brewers, actually. Give me the Brewers money line at around plus 115, give or take. As a Yankees fan, I feel pretty in touch with the team right now. They were very solid offensively, and then the at-bats just have not been as crisp as they were to start the season. The offense has struggled. Brewers are a very undervalued team. They've been undervalued all year long. Ross has been not terrible, and Rodon is fine. Does let some guys get on base. And he's also really, really bad at keeping runners on. The Brewers can steal. They have a lot of speed in their lineup. They might be swiping bags left and right. You might want to look for some stolen base props in this game. But I can see a lot of small ball for Milwaukee in this game, where they're able to manufacture runs. The Yankees really can't. And Milwaukee is just a solid team in general. So for my lock, once again, give me the first five under 4.5 in that Nationals and Marlins game. For my dog, give me the Brewers money line at, I found, plus 120.
Love it. Love it.
All right. That's going to wrap it up, though, for this episode of the MLB Gambling Podcast. Find me on Twitter at Raisho Radio. Find Lante on Twitter as well at XXLanteXXX.
Yes, sir. Well, just two X's. This one. Yeah. Just two
Damn it. Okay. Yeah. So it's XXLanteXX. You can see it down below on YouTube. A reminder, don't forget to rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple, or like and subscribe on YouTube. Until next time, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.